Welcome to MGO Radio's
4.3.
I'm good about remembering things and numbers. Michigan plays Nebraska, the mighty Cornhuskers.
Yeah, we remember them.
It's been a long time. I was looking for Nebraska photos in our Flickr page. And like the first album I opened up, it was like a big shot of Brady Hoke. And I was like, oh, come on.
I think there was one of Fitz Toussaint like getting swarmed like, yes. On the second picture.
And yeah, that was one as well.
That was the last time we played Nebraska, wasn't it?
That was a weird game, wasn't it?
Yeah. We had a chance of winning that game despite getting negative. Was that negative 27 or was that the other one?
Negative 27 was an MSU game, I thought. Or was it?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Was the other one where we had negative rushing yards?
Our memories aren't that good, but this is definitely that week. What was it?
This one was the Nebraska one was the
15
one.
15, just minus
15. Yeah. All right. It's like we can remember which games were which by with how many negative rushing yards Michigan had. Anyway, welcome to our podcast. We should talk about our lovely sponsors.
We do. We have wonderful sponsors. Let me just pull up there that wonderful list of our...
This is a first where Brian's like, hey, remember the sponsors?
It's like, I'm ready for you to remember.
Our sponsors are Underground Printing, The Bow Store, Peak Wealth Management, Homeshore Lending, the University of Michigan Alumni Association, the Residence Inn, Ann Arbor Downtown, Ann Arbor Elder Law, Human Element, Michigan Law Grad, Lantana Hummus. And Lantana Hummus. What happened to the...
They're taking
the district library.
They're coming back.
Okay,
they're coming back. They're coming out with a new podcast. Okay. So there's no reason.
Yeah, you know, I was just kind of sad.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I miss them too. Why don't we just march down there right now and demand that they get that podcast out so we can advertise it?
All right.
We can get our podcast out.
Yeah. Let's focus on lessons learned against the Smoo Mustangs.
Right.
I really wish people would call them Smoo. It's really deeply hilarious to me.
Do you know what their nickname is down there? My sister works
Mustangs?
There.
So
no, like what the locals call the universities.
Oh.
Southern Millionaires.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had, there were 8 SMU fans in front of us, in the row in front of us, and they definitely gave off an air of wealth.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were not going to go swill some Bud Lights after the game.
Yeah, that's SMU, and... Yeah, I don't think there's a lot to take out of this game, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, some things you can take. And on offense, like I think you have another game where, for the most part, Che Patterson is a super accurate quarterback. You know, he's able to hit guys in stride, and it's another 18 throws of evidence that suggests that.
18 throws.
I know, but... You know, we're getting towards a quarter of a season here. We actually have had a quarter of a season here, and he's had a 77%, a 77%, and a 74% in our downfield success metric, and that feels good. It feels better than last year. It feels better than the year before that. It feels better than quarterback situation since, a long time.
Yeah, people are already asking if we're going to get a star on the B5FO film chart. Yeah,
already.
Yeah.
How many people are asking you about this?
Two people.
Two people. That is people. That is not person. That is people. So, yeah. I mean, I do feel like it is a thing that you can take from this game. And even though we're talking about a team that doesn't have a whole lot of pass rush inherent to it, you know, you're talking about I had a -2 for... Juwan Bushel-Beatty for one play, and the rest of that they actually pass block pretty well. So, you know, I think you can take something from this game. Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
You're supposed to talk to me now.
Well I'm just... the things that I was trying to take out of this game are, like, the offensive line kind of had... They botched some run plays.
Yeah, they had some mental issues.
And I think a lot of times they were just running into stacked boxes, which they have to learn how to do anyway. And
well, you get those, you know, you get these teams that just are crazy aggressive with their linebackers, and your run game is like, can we break a really long run?
Mm-hmm.
And Michigan did. It's just that Chris Evans came up lame halfway through it. So, you know, you add those 45 yards back on, and I thought he was going to score on that play.
Yeah.
And, you know, you take out some of the... There was, I think, 11 short yardage plays in this game. So some of the stuff that was going on was not actually as concerning as it might have felt live to me.
Yeah.
Like, I came out of that game, and I'm like, oh, this run game's back to suck it. And then I was like, all right, they had some errors, but they were really blowing guys out, especially on the right side. So I felt like you could take maybe a little bit from that too.
It feels like that period last year, the Rutgers, Minnesota, Maryland period, when you're just blowing over teams, then practicing and not doing everything that like is in the playbook, and then when it's time to score, okay, fine, we'll play action them, and lo and behold, the linebackers come down like linebackers who are playing blitzball do. There's tons of room behind them, and they score a touchdown, and that's
this game. So the crossing route to Peoples Jones, that was a 35-yard touchdown. I mean, how easy was that? There wasn't a guy within 5 yards of him,
right?
And he just so Michigan probably could have done that all day. And you kind of have to go back to the fact that, you know, there were nine possessions in this game. They had a bad couple possessions at the start. They score on six, and the other one's an interception from the 12-yard line. So, you know, that's an offensive performance that Michigan was not capable of last year, even against total dogs.
Yeah, and if they'd mixed them up instead of just putting them into that hellacious first quarter, which when the sun was beating down and I didn't have enough water in me at that point, and... Like we can get into fan experience.
Sure, yeah.
Like,
I've already said my bit about that.
Yeah, but I'm actually really anxious to get to the next segment. So,
all right, let's do that. We're going to take an ad break, and we have a couple special guests on the other side.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go. Let's go.
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
It's painless, it's online, it's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing takes the aggravation out of custom printing for a group. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out who needs what. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages $90,000. It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
Hey, this is Seth from MGO Blog. Like many of you by now, when it was time to refinance my house, I talked to Matt Demarest and HomeSure Lending. Since we had bought only a few years earlier, it was amazing how different the experience was between Matt and our bank. He knows his stuff, gives you and your loan his personal attention, and can shop at the different lenders so you're always a priority. We are constantly getting similar feedback from readers who used HomeSure Lending when buying or refinancing a house in Michigan. He knows the mortgage industry well, which becomes a big deal when your loan is as complicated as mine was. If you haven't met him yet, he's tailgating this year with his HemGo bus at the Charity Beer Garden on 327 Hoover. And if you're buying or refinancing, reach out to HomeSure Lending, NMLS number 1161358.
I grew up in a small town of Hazlitt, Michigan, and I witnessed a lot of great people making a lot of poor financial decisions. And I thought to myself, I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to have my retirement at risk. Over the last 17 years, my team has developed and refined our process, which helps people understand what's important to them and what they value most. And because people don't have pensions anymore, we're adding in multiple income streams during retirement. At Peak Wealth Management, our goal is to build long-lasting relationships. And we do that by building trust, by showing our integrity, and letting them know how much we care. And that's one of the most important things we do here at Peak, is understand your goals and help you get there.
welcome back to MGO Radio 4.3 live at the Bow Store on Main Street. We have a couple special guests, Jason and Randy Sklar. I don't actually know which one of you is which.
Jay's got glasses.
Thank you.
Jay's got glasses.
For the podcast listeners, I'm in glasses. Glasses.
It's a very visual podcast.
There we go.
So we were just talking in the break about how you guys got started. And you guys actually started getting serious about your work in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. The summer between our junior and senior year when we were back home in St. Louis, we really picked it up and then carried that through here in Ann Arbor. We had done stand-up at the Laugh Tracks, which was the show at the Union, our freshman year and a little bit our sophomore year. And then we ran that show our senior year. So once a month, we would bring headlining comedians come in. We would host the show.
At the Union.
And then we started performing at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase.
Union back then was a little different than it is right now. The windows weren't boarded up.
Yeah. In that it was open.
Well.
And then we started performing at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase when it was right underneath Seva.
Yeah.
Which was a great location for it.
I saw Dustin Diamond there.
Oh, hey, nice. Now. Screeched it up, huh? Did he come at you with a knife? That was his big closer?
No. Did the show
screech to a halt?
It was a sad comedy show because he had some jokes about pot, and then it was just like, what is he going to do with the rest of this time?
Because he's a sad human being. You get what you pay for.
That's on you, bro.
We had great shows there. It was a great room.
It was a great space. Yeah,
great space and great like sort of comedy culture that was engendered here by Roger Feeney and all the people who were a part of the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. And then they moved around the corner, so now they're on 4th and kind of between Liberty and Washington.
Yeah,
and the building that they're in has been under construction since the last time we won a Heisman Trophy.
Everything that you love is currently under construction.
Everything that we love is under construction. I mean, everything.
Including our comedy act.
Yeah.
But it is so fun to... Oops, I just knocked.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a podcast. Nobody knows.
Yeah, no one knows. It's okay. Buildings under construction, they said, and we're like, what if it's finished? What if they're like, you know, what do you want this thing to look like? I don't know, Syria after it's been bombed. Let's do that.
Give us that Fallujah chic.
Yeah, you know, no walls, building. No windows. Let's just enjoy it that way.
I'm pretty sure it's not done. They have a crane.
Exactly.
Well, so, it's on its way, but it's not easy to find. So if you are thinking of coming,
because you have a show tonight.
We have two shows tonight. 8 and 10 p.m. and then 8 and 10 Saturday.
8:30.
8 and 10:30. I'm sorry. The 10:30 shows have some tickets left. The 8 shows are almost sold out. Okay. So
if you want to get some Sklars in your life, that is how you would do it this weekend.
Let's do it. And we're here on a football weekend, which is always great.
Did you try that?
Yeah, yes. We told them we wanted to do that. And then, of course, it almost backfired on us because
for a while, they weren't sure if there was going to be an 8 p.m. game.
Oh. If it was an 8 p.m. game, that just like ruins our shows because then what do? Do we just like cancel the shows and go to the game? I mean, that's what
we
want to
do. You just put the game on in the background so people can watch it?
So we did that. So
We were
in Cleveland when they were in the finals, and it was the J.R. Smith, I don't know what the score is, and I'm going to dribble the ball back out when all I have to do is put it back up and we can beat these guys in Golden State game. And we watched the first half. And actually, we put it on. We were like, we know this is happening. This is our Thursday night. We put the game on.
We're going to do a version of our old TV show that we had on ESPN.
Oh, you did Cheap Seats. Yeah.
So we cheap seated the
half.
Oh, my God. Which was so much fun. So they projected the game on like a wall, huge wall. And we watched the game and sat down and just made jokes the entire time. And it was really fun.
A lot of Tristan Thompson's dating a Kardashian now.
Do you kind of feel like the entire internet is just doing a long, like an epic Cheap Seats?
They're trying to.
Like,
you got to be good to
Twitter
do it.
Is just I know. People I mean, trying to
on
cheap
some
seats.
Level yeah. trying to cheap seat life.
Yeah.
But we did have a lot of
Tristan Thompson can.
So I always wanted to ask you guys, so you're going back through these wide world of sports things mm-hmm. from the 70s. Mm-hmm. Did you ever just like get stuck like watching something
yes.
and
yes.
you're like, this is nothing.
So this is nothing. There's no comedy in this. We can get out of it. Yes, there was a lot of that. And then once in a while, we'd be sitting in the studio, and there was a little TV off to our right behind the couch, and they would always want to play old games and stuff. And sometimes, like, the cameras, it would take a while for them to get recalibrated, and we'd just be sitting there for a little while. And there was an old Yankees World Series, the one where I think where Reggie Jackson
hit 3 home runs. So it's 77.
And they're in Yankee.
They clinch it at this game. So they do.
So it's the end of the game, and Reggie Jackson goes out into right field with a batting helmet on. because he knows that he's going to get mobbed, and he wants to basically
Meanwhile,
run
there are Yankees fans sitting with their legs over the wall.
Okay.
This isn't a World Series game. Legs over
like,
the
wall. Remember everyone freaked out about Jeffrey Meyer like reaching over and catching a ball? Yeah, because they're going to run on the field. And
like the that LSU-Kentucky game where they had to get everybody off the field.
So we watch this game, and they make the last out. I think Reggie even catches it in right, and
he comes.
The
in.
Crowd starts pouring in, and he starts running through, just shoulder blocking anyone who's coming.
Every
into the field.
Like he must have knocked an old guy like 10 feet back.
I'm like, is that the father-son team that beat up Tom Gamboa? No, it's just an old guy. All right, right. So they zip him in, and he runs into the dugout, and we were mesmerized by this.
Just by the difference
watching.
In how people watch
sure.
spectators at sporting events.
I mean, do you think there'll ever be another time when we'll rush the Michigan field? I mean, certainly the football field.
I mean, that was the only time that we've done it is after the 97 Ohio State game.
Yeah.
And but the setup of the stadium is such that, like, I remember,
it's
like,
a big drop.
Right, yeah.
12 feet or 8 feet.
Like, you'd actually have to put in, like, stairs to make it safe
yeah,
these days.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like no.
No, it won't happen.
I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, it's been a long time. You hope that, I mean, the true test of, like, rushing the field is that the game is so significant and you had no chance whatsoever to win it, and so.
Right. Well,
you know, you would hope we would be like, act like you've been there and just beat them and then walk
off. Well,
on.
I mean, you see, like, there's rushing the court at basketball still.
For sure.
So it's like, I feel like.
But would you rush the court at a Michigan game anymore?
I'm
I feel
not,
like we're
not
at that place.
I'm
though.
Not a court rusher. Like, it's just not part of my DNA. Like, I'm not a person who, like, screams yeah. at concerts and raises his hand. So it's
you
not
seem
my,
like you would be based on me listening yeah. to you on this spot. Although, how great would it have been if we would have rushed the field after SMU? Decent
just,
performance, complete, not great.
Yeah, like
just the two of you, or
me and Jay,
and we start pulling down the goalposts yeah. and we lift them up and we leave them on Washington. We're like, take that.
Told you we could do it.
Deal with it. Deal with it.
I mean,
down goes
SMU.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
SMU are three letters that we don't like. I mean, if they were in a different order, we would take the. If it was MSU, we'd be throwing
strange.
That way out.
Yeah. You're trying to type something and you're like, oh, I almost hate this, but then I just have no feelings about it whatsoever.
It auto corrects it to MSU. Yeah. Yeah. But we're excited for the game tomorrow, definitely, to see. We're going to see where we're at.
18-point spread, though, like, that seems insane to me.
That yeah, feels like they're planning the spread for Bunch to be in there and not Martinez.
Yeah, that's what I feel like, too.
Martinez is in there, I would call it, I think it'd be like 9.5 is probably.
That's a big swing for one guy, but it is like a walk-on versus not a walk-on.
Versus a guy who can walk all over you, a guy yeah. who has the potential to on third down.
The key is just staying disciplined.
Did you guys want to talk about sports this whole time?
Oh, my God.
Do you want to talk sports?
No,
I was like, let's talk about the Sklar's career.
Please, whatever you want.
Whatever. I just don't want people driving in to be like, why are we listening to this?
How did you meet John U. Bacon, by the way?
Bacon was introduced. He was a fan. He was introduced to us through other people who knew us from Ann Arbor. And he started watching our comedy and was great. And we started reading his books and thought, this guy's really good. I really like what he has to say. And then when we'd guest host Jim Rome's radio show, we'd have him on to talk Michigan sports. I remember when his book came out.
Does he call you like chief?
No.
Master?
No.
But they
that's
were,
just me?
Just you.
Like, you guys are famous. You're like, he's got to have, like, some weird names
you're
for you.
Chief
or something.
Man. I
he
want
doesn't.
A name.
But weren't we, like, trying to. So we were on Sam Webb's show today, yeah. And he was talking about a roast that's going to happen of John U. Bacon.
Yeah, I guess who's not invited to that?
You're not invited?
No, it's too harsh. Like, I'd just go. He knows.
He knows.
I'd go too hard in the paint.
Don't so go had, too hard in the paint. Go hard in the paint, man. It's all done out of love. We were trying to roast him today.
See, that's not. Accurate with me though, like
it's not really in your character.
Well, no, it's just like, you know, if I just tell John Bacon what I think.
I said, what John, John U. Bacon, what you lack in personality, you also lack in eyebrows. So that he dug that. He definitely laughed at that.
And then
that.
Didn't you say, you know how people say if you don't, you don't,
yeah,
he has, you know,
he has a face for radio, you have a voice for writing books. So that was fun.
He had a radio show for a long time though.
Like. Sure did. He
knows his stuff.
And his catchphrase was stay tuned for more cool sports.
Great.
I'm in.
Really?
Nah, I mean, no. That sounds like.
See, like, I just.
That
I
sounds
know.
Like something that George Michael and his sports machine wouldn't even say.
Yeah.
The sports machine would be
we
like,
gotta get
can
on
I
him.
Compute?
We got to get
our,
on him.
Our segments with Bacon are, bar none, the most train wrecky things I've ever
really?
Done in my life. Yeah.
Why? Because you guys just.
Because he's just, you know.
He called him Dave.
He called you Dave?
I accidentally. I was. So I do the season preview in the first. the first one after it, I'm just, I have no sleep, so I can't think of anything. I called him Dave because I, and he didn't appreciate that.
I said his eyes are closer than the Sklar brothers.
Did you guys ever do like your own shows, like stand up, or is it always like a joint thing?
Always together.
Always together, although recently we went on the this past season of Comedy Central's Roast Battle and roasted each other for the first time. Like Rocha, it was definitely crazy because we'd never done anything like it before. It's,
and like you, our like mission in our career for the last 25 years has been to build each other up and create this Voltron, two forces coming together, greater, the sum of the parts is greater than the whole of the parts of the soul.
I think that's exactly what they said about Voltron.
They did. The Voltron, they were like, they need better run defense.
Did that like get personal, or is it all just like
some got personal? Yeah. Some we wanted to sort of get into it, and Dave, Jeff Ross is like, I want you guys to do it. And he's like,
Jeff Ross is a great dude, and he was like, it should hurt a little bit.
He's so great, and he was so happy afterwards
because then we roasted him.
Like he's like, I've never been roasted like that before. We were like, Jeff, you look like Mr. Clean if he came out of the closet.
Because he just hangs out with people.
Join the Russian mafia.
Like, yeah. Every like any moment of the day, you could just get like the most wicked burn to your.
He's fun. We guest host. We get celebrity judge the roast battle that happens at the Comedy Store every Tuesday night. We'll usually do that and judge it like once a month with him there. And he's just so fun. I mean, it's like one of our favorite things to do. But we never stepped on stage and done it that way. He's like, I really want you to do it. I want you to be the main event of one of the episodes. And we were like, okay,
great.
It's our friend asking us to do something. It's maybe outside of our comfort zone, but let's do it.
That's what comedy's about.
When you guys are doing like a rough like run through of one of your new shows, like when I saw you last time, it was just kind of uncanny how you guys were so put together in a way that like you don't see for a lot of stand ups. Like it felt more like a two man show than necessarily a stand up thing. Is that right? Like just to happen, or is that just
it depends where you are in the progression of your material? Because like if you're close to shooting a special. And then your material is, you're pretty much there. Yeah. You're like, all right, we're good. Tight. It's tight. We know this is the material we're going to use. We're going to shoot this in a special shortly. If you're in the middle, like some of it's going to be really polished. And then some of it is going to be, hey, we're working on this and we're just figuring this out. And it there may be some bumps. You know, I mean, we try to work that stuff out in L.A. And then when we go out on the road, bring the more polished stuff.
So let me put to you in terms that your listeners and that you will enjoy. In some cases, you're a beeline team early March. In some cases, you're a beeline team early December. If that makes sense.
So you might get us beeline pieces. Early December.
You hope you get us beeline like
you
February.
Hope you get us like right after the plane didn't make it
up. But that's when you're like showing up unannounced in LA to do
in our practice clothes. Yeah, and we're just bringing it
in our practice jersey.
No, but that we do that a lot, and we go up a lot in LA in some really great rooms and are trying out material all the time and trying to grow, and then you bring it on the road. And
right, I mean, it starts with a kernel of an idea. You go live your life and something funny or weird happens to you, and then you're like, then we come together and I'm like, I think this is funny. What can we build around this? Here's what happened to me, and this is the way I was feeling, and this is how here's the truth in this idea. Can we build a bit around it? Okay, let's get it up to about 50% and then go put it on stage.
Right.
Find where the funny parts are. Keep pushing it. Keep cycling it through there. Once we get it to a certain place, if they get to a good club like the one in Ann Arbor is great. The audiences are great. We get four cracks at doing one bit and making it better throughout the weekend.
Yeah, because
you got four shows. So you kind of put it through that cycle, and it's wonderful. It's like, again, in a football terms, it's like getting a play, working a play out so many times through practice throughout the week that, okay, now we're ready to do this on the weekend.
So do you have, you're in Ann Arbor, have an idea of what the crowd's probably going to be like?
Sure.
Do you have, your least favorite place in America due to stand
up? West Palm Beach, Florida.
easy. And by the way,
a woman was so drunk. She was so drunk that she was talking like louder than I'm talking to you right now, a table away from the stage in the middle of our show.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were like, hey, you got to stop. I was like, you just got to stop.
Right.
I love that you have a voice. I love that you care about things. You just literally have to stop.
Yeah.
And she was like, you suck and you're not funny. And we're like, okay, here we go. So we just hammered this woman for about 5 minutes. We told her that she's going to wake up tomorrow and she's going to regret a lot of things in her life. I don't know.
And I was like, if you wake up tomorrow.
If you wake up tomorrow.
Whoa.
Which may or may not happen.
I don't know. She drank a lot.
We're like, you're...
Okay. Oh, it's
no. I'm not
a threat.
I'm not going to murder her.
No, we're not murdering her. We're saying you will, may kill yourself.
You will die at your own hand.
And this is something that happens to you in West Beach, Palm.
West Palm Beach, Florida. So we hammer, and then we say to the security, get her out of here. And as she's leaving the room, I was like, hang on a second. Wait. And the security holds up, and I was like, we have CDs and T-shirts.
Yeah, if you want, make sure you pick up some of our merch. So, you know, it was just not the right place for us. Look, we've done comedy in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Missouri, maybe not the best place for us to
Tulsa
do it.
Tulsa was great.
Tulsa, Oklahoma was great. Houston, great. Dallas, great. I mean, places that maybe you wouldn't think.
Yeah.
Dallas, great. Fort Worth, not as great.
That's
you know
weird.
What I mean? Fort Worth is a little more...
Fort Worth, by the way, is
a little
so,
more uptight.
Is so yeah. proud of the fact that...
That Kennedy didn't die there. You know what I mean? They're just like, he stayed in our hotel the night before. Like, if Fort Worth could have a sign on the city, like, right. Welcome to Fort Worth. He was alive when he left. Like, that's what they would say. You had one thing to do, Dallas. Keep our president alive. You
couldn't do it. They hate Dallas.
So what's your, like, most unexpected place that you love to do shows?
I mean, Tulsa was a pretty
Tulsa was a surprise, and it was beautiful because there's a nice art scene there. You know, I mean, Madison and Ann Arbor are great places.
Right, but that's like your core demo, right?
Yeah, it's like smart Midwestern people or people who are pretty grounded, but at the same time are progressive and interested.
We had a great show in Mobile, Alabama. We did it in a rock club. It was kind of an interesting club, but the people who came out were amazing. And the show itself was really fun. And we just kind of drew upon all the artsy people who were there, but they had a really cool scene. The mayor of Mobile did a very smart thing. He said, you know, we want to
encourage... Kind of the same thing that happened in Tulsa.
Right. We want to encourage people and businesses to come and artists to come down here so you can, in this one strip of like kind of a main street in near Mobile downtown, they're like, you can work rent free for like a period of time. And so like people can start their businesses. Businesses start coming in and like creative businesses start coming in. Great restaurants start coming in, coffee shops. And then you just start to pull in different people. Mm-hmm. So that was surprising for sure.
All right. What's the movie you guys always wanted to make but couldn't make happen?
Wow. Well, it could have been the one, the soul switching movie where our souls switch, but nobody knows, nor do they care.
I can't imagine why that one didn't get cut off the ground.
Oh, brother.
We treat it with the same urgency as
like the phone rings and we both look at it like,
I don't know.
I was going to know. Answer it.
Yeah, there was that one. And what else do we have? I don't know. That's probably the one.
It's like Freaky Friday, except no Freaky. It's just Friday.
It's just Friday.
But they already made Friday.
They already made Friday. Exactly.
Next Friday. Next Friday.
They already made Next Friday.
They did make Next Friday already.
Dang. So, but no, we're excited. We're trying to develop an animated narrative version of our podcast, Dumb People Town, which we're very excited about. And hopefully we're definitely going to get to make a pilot. We'll see if we get to make a show for YouTube.
But we're developing it on YouTube Red, same place that does Cobra Kai. You know, I don't know, the show about the Karate Kid, the sort of like update of the
G.I. Joe. So YouTube Red sounds like a porn thing, but it's not.
It's not.
I just want to make that clear.
What's the you porn? It's not that. It's YouTube. They're going to call it YouTube Premium. I don't know what they're going to call it.
Whatever they should call it. They should, yeah. And I don't know. We can't tell them what to do, but we can try and make the best show that we can make with it. Yeah. But it's a narrative show about the dumbest city in America, and it's all about two brothers, one who's smart.
And that city
dumb.
Is East Lansing, Michigan. No, what? I'm kidding. Why would I even?
Why would we even?
What am I saying? Sorry.
You beat me to it. Well, you have shows tonight.
Two shows tonight, 8
two
and
shows
10
tomorrow.
30. Two shows tomorrow, 8 and 10.
At the Comedy Showcase.
And it's been a couple years since we've been back here. Just we've been busy and running around, and it's not always able to get here. So it is a really special thing for us to come back. We put a lot of care into our show, and we love performing in this club, and I think the shows are going to be a lot of fun. So here's the deal. You can go to the Nebraska game. You're going to have so much fun. You won't want to leave town. You can come see us tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, I believe in what we can do tomorrow. And how are you feeling?
I mean, I'm with you guys. Like, I feel like the line is a backup walk-on quarterback line, and it's going to be a game.
It's definitely going to be a game. I mean, there were parts of the SMU game that were a game. But what do you make of the idea that we haven't shown like more than a third of our playbook yet?
I I think there's stuff that they practice that they that the offensive line was like, oh, we practice this. It's something we can run. That the coaches are like, eh, I'm not sure about that yet.
Right.
So kind of like you guys putting together a comedy special. I think it'll come along.
Eventually.
And you'll see more stuff every week.
When do you think we see the new guys in full time? The younger kids in full time.
The Jalen
Mayfield.
Jalen Mayfield and James Hudson.
I will have to see. It'll have to, like, what'll have to happen is that it'll have to be another bad game that hopefully doesn't go so badly that Michigan loses, but they're clearly
there's enough examples to point to be like, hey, it's not.
Can this team win the Big Ten, do you think, in your mind as you look at it right now?
Yeah, if they can figure out the tackle thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's like they've got a decent run game. I think Patterson's really coming along. You've got Gentry, you have DPJ, like
Patterson is I love that I hear people say sometimes that he's just managing the game. I'm like, he's doing a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Like, before we just say he's just managing the game, dude's like running out of the pocket, throwing across his body, hitting guys on the thing. Anytime he's got, like, more than 3 seconds.
The pass to Gentry over the middle where he stood in there to take the hit, to me, was like, oh, that's a throw we haven't seen made for maybe a decade.
Well, I mean, for me, like, the 40-yard Peoples Jones touchdown where he's wide open, he's just like, I'm just going to throw this and it's going to hit him directly in stride. That's what we haven't had.
Or the pass where he goes back in the pocket, looks off his one and two, and then throws to Gentry all the way across. This is where the D-back fell down. That's a great pass on a rope.
Yeah.
Gentry and puts it up at 6'9", where only a 6'7" Gentry could get it.
Yeah, that might have been a little bit.
I love that pass.
I mean, I thought that might have been, like, not quite intentionally high.
Oh, well, anyway, I mean, I thought only overthrown one. He's actually only made, yes, the interception was a problem, but you could half put that or a quarter put that on McEwen for not coming back. There was one other pass that he overthrew McEwen in the first game where going in the end zone, he had him wide open.
Well, he got hit on that. So, there have been some blips here.
There have been a couple, but not much.
He does feel like a different class of quarterback than we've been used to for the last X number of years.
And I like his confidence, too. I just like him as a confidence guy. I do think, like, he gets down the huddle and everybody in the huddle is like, all right. It's almost like a comedy show. You know, the audience just wants to hear you tell your first joke and get a laugh so that they can sit back and
not
say,
be nervous about
it. They can sit back and say, oh,
they got this.
They got this. I'm going to sit back and enjoy this because they got it. That's the way Michigan fans and certainly the team wants to feel when Shea comes out there. You're like, oh, he's got it. He's got it.
And that's why, like, the Michigan, like, scores on 6 and 9 drives against SMU, but the first two drives were bad, and everybody's like, that's what lingers with you.
Well, that's what scares you at the top of the game, because you're watching us, like you guys mentioned in the first segment, running into, like, a stacked box. Yeah. Like, at some point, you got to just be like, there are 8 people on the line here. Shea Patterson is the type of guy who can see that and then call an audible and, like, you know, run someone out and actually make them pay for bringing all those people up there.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is, like, when's the last time we had a healthy quarterback for the Ohio State game?
Huge
so,
question.
So, like, they're trying – I just feel
like – Oh, you're saying they're just trying to keep him healthy. That's a great point, too.
Like, I feel like keeping it conservative and just trying to get through the games that you're probably going
to
win comfortably.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're probably going to see Patterson get more opportunities. He's probably going to have 30 throws in this game.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right. And maybe that'll –
Especially if they need it. Especially if it's, like, a 7-8-point game. Tighter, you're going to have him, like, whatever it takes to pull this game out.
I mean, if they're up 2-3 scores in the second half, they'll probably downshift it. But
all right, but how do you feel about, I mean, you have to feel comfortable about McCaffrey coming in if we need him at any point in time.
Not so much.
He's had a good start, but I think there'd be a pretty considerable drop off.
Yeah. I agree. But the kid has impressed me a lot. He has impressed me a lot.
I mean, it's tough to come off the bench like that and make some calm throws, and that's something he's definitely capable of.
Yeah, and throwing on the run and rolling out.
And you feel like he can – the moment isn't too big for him.
Arm strength still seems like a thing, so I feel like if they're going to ask him to run a 15-yard out, I'm a little bit nervous about that. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah. You bring Joe Milton in for that. He's got arm strength in many ways.
Man. You guys really are diehards.
We are diehards, dude. We love it. I was saying saying to Sam Webb earlier today, there was a moment I texted my friend, because we have friends, you know, deep, deep Michigan friends, and my friend who didn't even go to Michigan, his dad played football here years ago, Bill Rotko, great dude. I just, this week, I texted him out, all this week, I just said Daxton.
I just texted him Daxton, and that was it. And he knows. You know. Yeah. We knew. He's like, I know. It just that's a great special moment
talent.
For us.
That's a special talent.
Probably the best safety talent we've had in here since Trip Wellborn. I mean, like,
that's what
literally.
Sam said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you count Jabril Peppers as a linebacker, which you should. So
I mean, yeah, Viper. So how's Glasgow going to handle the Vipers spot in the first half?
We don't have that much information. I think he'll be a fine run defender.
Right.
Like he knows what he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
He was very
buttoned up as far as that went.
Yeah, he felt like he knew where he was supposed to be and was confident getting
But they're not going to blitz the heck out of him like they did with Hudson as much.
I don't think he's going to be a dynamic impact player, but I think they'll be able to get through it.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think this is a good test for him. I think it's a mid-range test. I think this team is actually might even be better, especially with Martinez as a quarterback, than a Northwestern or a Maryland. I think the harder of the next three-week test might be tomorrow.
And possibly. I mean,
Northwestern at Northwestern is not going to be easy. I know they just got beat twice.
Yeah.
But, like, they'll get up for us. Everybody gets up for us.
But that stadium's going to be...
filled with Michigan fans.
Have you ever been to a Northwestern
game? Yeah, yeah. Yes. I mean, every person who went to Michigan
who lives in Chicago, from the North Shore of Chicago,
is now at Evanston. So they're like a stone throw from that place. We have like five people that we know that will be there. So
yeah, it's I feel bad for them. It's just like I don't know.
In some sense, but Michigan's a team that travels well. Great, you got
well, but it does. It's not just Michigan. Like they get Nebraska that comes in, or
Michigan
Ohio
State
that comes in.
Yeah, it brings a bunch of people down there.
Half their schedule is just like, this isn't going to be a home game.
Well, so we'll see. So I mean, that's not going to be as hard of a game. But yeah,
so what I'm worried about with Northwestern is they have a strong side end named Gaziano, mm-hmm. which is like the most Northwestern name.
Mm-hmm. Totally,
but he's a legit. Like pass rush threat at like 280.
Yeah.
And that could be like the last straw for one of the tackles.
You think like if he's just not having a rough time.
Yeah, he could just
live in the backfield.
Yeah.
I mean, and look, Nebraska had 7 sacks in the first
Nebraska's going to not be they're going to bring the heat.
When Seth went back and looked at it, he was like, this Colorado guard is just letting them through. He's just a
I mean, he's well, so do, door, at yeah. times so do our
not the guards.
Not the
every
guards.
Once in a while. Once but, a while. You know, they're more organized. This
guards
year,
have been great, and Cesar Ruiz has played
you know
really
who
well.
Pass protects well is True Wilson.
He does.
That dude, he can set up. You look at the pockets that have, like, sustained themselves and given Shea a little bit of time. That's a True Wilson block.
What he does is he has cut blocks where a guy doesn't get up afterwards.
That's right. He takes him out. He's a diminutive guy, but he can definitely put the hurt
He's listed at the same weight as Caron Higdon on the roster.
Like 205?
Yeah, that's a lie.
That's a lie.
He can't be. How tall is he? 5'11"?
He's listed at 5'10". So he's not.
So you know he's 5'9".
Eight.
Jeez. He's all right.
He's all right. But like Vincent Smith was 5'6", and he was an awesome pass protector. You get low, and then you're...
Can we at this point...
How about Giles Jackson is 5'1". All right? I've said it. He's 5'1".
Tom Cruise is 6 feet tall. 6 feet taller than Giles Jackson. No, but can we replace the Vincent Smith hit with the Quiddy Pay hit from last like let's no. just can we can't do that
was an unreal
one was in a bowl game
shot.
But that
I
was,
can't believe no. that didn't get flagged I cannot well,
he,
believe
he
that
hit
dude.
With a shoulder
he yeah, did but he had his arm kind of up like around the shoulder that was an unbelievable
they got flagged on something else on that play it still didn't count they got flagged on like an offsides or something
oh yeah there's yeah it was they got illegal weird. Formations
but it was an unbelievable hit
yeah he's coming along
he's coming along too
what I happened like, to Luigi
Villain
yeah
he's been hurt so
he was hurt all last year he's hurt again
well, yeah so it's you know Mike McCray kind of people were worried about him early in his career it's kind of like that
what
so
about Mario Villain Mario and Luigi. They come from opposite
Mario.
Sides.
How about the Villain brothers? How about Josh Uche?
He's been playing a little bit.
He's been playing a little bit, but like, does he get in linebacker?
Does Anthony get in at linebacker?
Furbush has been playing pretty well. He had the interception. Like
Furbush has been playing well.
So like, I feel like there's not that many snaps there at that spot, and Furbush is really kind of...
Furbush, it sounds like two separate dirty words combined into one.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, Furbush.
I mean... You know, he's an aerospace engineer, you know.
That dude is fascinating to listen to. Yeah. Anytime you hear him interviewed, I'm like, this guy's smart. He knows what he's doing. He's like an older guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he feels like
he's 25. You know what I mean? How about no run for Casey Hughes? Has he been getting in at all?
Where are you going to put Casey Hughes in this game?
I don't know.
Game?
Safety.
I don't think he's going to be better than Michigan's existing safety.
You don't think he's better than Brad Hawkins in terms of like knowledge of what's going on?
In terms of Brad Hawkins chasing the wrong guy.
I mean, like Hawkins is I have it once. He's been on campus for like a year and change, and Casey Hughes just showed up like either in spring or summer. I don't remember which one.
But he's played football for a long time.
I know, but like I think the young man wants to get a head start on a graduate degree as well.
Okay. So. All right. Fine. Fair enough. Jalen Kelly Powell back.
He was hurt.
He's back this week.
And you guys are just grilling.
How are you feeling?
We're just grilling him, but can I tell you why I love the show so much?
This is just so fun for us. This is like, because
all he wants to do is not talk about the Michigan game, and all we want to do is talk about it. That's it.
I mean, I don't talk about the Michigan game all the time. I don't get to talk about the scars all the time.
So what do you want to know about us? Let's let it roll.
I want to know when your show starts, because I think it might be pretty soon.
No, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock show, and are you trying to get rid of us? All right.
Well, no. I mean, but we should probably take a commercial break if you guys are going to stick around.
Yeah, we'll hang around.
All right. We are going to take a break after this. More Sklar's.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
If you find yourself on the wrong side of the law in Ann Arbor or around Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man in the huddle. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul at 248-924-9458 or visit his website, michiganlawgrad.com.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting UM apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Schembechler, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom-printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing at one of our three convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com. If you need a place to stay in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94, there's a new hotel downtown, and the owners, who should be well-known to the Michigan community, have asked our help to get the word out. The Martin family, yes, that Martin family, recently opened the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown, just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium. They're competitively priced and offer a free hot breakfast, free Wi-Fi, fully equipped kitchen and every suite and an indoor pool. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
It can be a rough ride along the information superhighway. That's why we build our e-commerce websites tough enough to handle the load. With the capacity to take hundreds of simultaneous online transactions and the stability of load-balanced co-located server architectures, a website from Human Element performs in the roughest conditions. Thousands of products? No problem. We'll throw in the tools to manage it with precision and efficiency. All with a design slick enough to make you think your girlfriend might be impressed. So load it up and hit the gas and let Human Element show you the way. Special offers available for returning lessees. Financing available with approved credit to qualified buyers. Client participation may affect savings. Optional equipment available at additional cost. See human-element.com for details.
Welcome back to MGO Radio 4.3 live at the Bow Store on Main Street. We have a continued segment with our special guest, the Sklar Brothers. I still don't remember which one's Randy.
That's Jason, and I'm Bo. Just kidding.
Jason in the glasses, once again.
And I was going to call you Randy. That's not your name.
No, you can call me Randy. I said I'm Bo. Yeah, Rand and Jay.
Randy and Jay all the way.
So we were just...
You're just grilling me about the...
well, because the we...
So I want to tell you why I love the show.
Because we love it. I mean, there's actually there's nothing more fun than this for us.
Yeah. So this is why I love the show, and this is why I love this blog. Our blog or website.
It's still a blog.
I'm stupid. It's a blog. It's a blog, and there are boards. And this is why I love this chat room. this is why I love chat roulette.
Okay, chat room starts getting into the Phil Hansen.
Hang on a second. I'm going to take my
Chris Hansen,
off.
Whatever. Right.
This is where... Why are you offering me sweet tea? this is why I love this, because Randy and I are very, very emotional Michigan fans,
yeah.
As I'm sure a lot of your readers and listeners are. I get hyper-emotional. When Michigan loses to Notre Dame to start the season off, the sky is falling. I'm right. very upset. I need some sound, logical analysis.
Look at the look at these defensive formation pictures and with great explanations.
But you guys, but what I love about it is that you come at a loss. You're like, yeah, they lost. It sucks. That's what it is. And now we move on. Like, you give very real.
Is that the vibe we're giving off?
No, but. No, but I think at times...
Well, that's what we're trying to pull from it. I have to say it is...
At times you are very comforting because you don't try to sugarcoat it and be like, this is the greatest thing in the world. And then you also are like, the world is not coming to an
end.
Sure,
yeah.
We are moving on here. This is what happens. Losing sucks and winning feels better.
Yeah, hey, by the way, no one has won a night game in this series at the other team's building forever.
See, so I didn't remember that because I don't know that.
But
8-0-8.
Yeah.
So no one has.
Like... I feel like I'm also that kind of Michigan fan. And then what happens is in the process of like going over the game in detail, that's kind of like a cathartic experience where I can be like, all right, these are the things that happen. And once I know that, then it's
this,
like, I can deal with it better.
But okay. So what you're saying right now is a metaphor for life. I want to put, I'm not kidding you.
Okay.
So imagine that a loss is an actual loss in your life.
Sure.
Right? A lot of times, like a breakup, a loss of a
job. For us, it's a loss of an opportunity.
Loss of an opportunity or whatnot. I think what happens for a lot of people is their immediate thing, and this happens to me with Michigan too, is they lose Notre Dame and like, shut it off. I don't want to see sports. I don't want to watch a play. I don't want to do anything familiar with that. But what the truth is that if you dig into the experience and you, I don't say immerse yourself in the loss, but you actually dig into your feelings and dig into the details of why things happen.
You guys don't shy away from it. Because it's your business.
That's how you cope with it. That's how you come out on the other side and feel better about it, is by actually engaging with the pain and the discomfort. And out of discomfort comes great things. Comes great comedy, comes great drama, comes great art, and comes great
analysis.
Chat rooms about sports.
Well, that's enough blowing smoke up my ass.
Not at all.
I mean, that is
true. No. I mean, I believe it's truthfully the way we engage with it. I'm sorry. That's not what I meant to say in response. But
I know.
I take compliments badly. And
no, you're great at it.
See, he can't take
it. Can't even take
he
that.
Can't take
I'm telling him he's good at it, and he can't even take a compliment on how he takes it.
We need to move on.
Let's get on.
Let's move on.
Let's do it.
To more of your terrible movie ideas starring both of you.
Let's do that.
Oh, my God.
What else do we have?
Both of us on a boat that's going down.
I don't know.
Like the Poseidon Adventure?
Yeah, exactly.
that would be so fun, a reboot of the Poseidon Adventure
with us, like the least likely people to run the ship. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, you could be the captains who are like drunk and like crash it.
I would want to just be in every movie.
Every movie?
The old, like put us in High Noon. You know what I mean? Like
sure.
Us just go back in there and we are who we are today.
Because we have a joke in our act that like Kevin Hart is in so many movies, he's now in movies from our childhood.
You're like, how is Kevin Hart in The Deer Hunter?
I don't remember him in The Deer Hunter.
But he's blowing my mind.
It's fantastic.
Well, you guys are, I mean, eventually going to be Spider-Man because they reboot that every 2 years.
Yeah,
so they're going to run out of people.
It's going to come to us eventually.
The Spider-Mans.
The Spider-Mans.
That's good.
Couple of Jews.
That's the twist.
They're Jewish.
Couple of Jews. The Spider-Mans.
Got to give John Stewart his
due on
that
credit. But yeah, I mean, look, we're constantly trying to pitch TV shows. And
what is that like?
Hard.
Difficult.
If you're walking into a room, do these people know you very much? Or
Sometimes they do, and sometimes you got to win them over. Sometimes it's like you got to prep. It's like prepping for a game of some sort in that you are you got to be, we have to know exactly what we're doing and exactly what we're saying and know how it's going to go. And then we can throw it away and have fun with it.
Yeah.
We're those type of people who need to prepare on a level. We can't just like walk in and be like, all right, whatever, we'll figure it out right in the room. We need to know how it's going to go. And then you go in there. And I've grown to truly love those moments. And actually, truthfully, moments like hosting the signing of the stars a couple years ago when it was just me and not Jason.
Because I was supposed to do it with him, the first one at Hill Auditorium, and I booked a pilot, a TV show, and I had to go do that. And I remember watching him on a little phone, on my phone, in the makeup chair as I was getting made up. I was so nervous for him, and I know he was nervous.
Nervous because these are jokes and stuff that we just wrote for this thing. Like, we haven't had a chance to like put it up and see how it does and whatnot. I'm like, I hope this is good. I'm looking, and there's Tom Brady, and there's Derek Jeter, and they were backstage, and like, they're James Earl Jones is this is Michigan, and I'm like, they're showing the hype video, and there's a drum line up there, and I'm like, I got to go out there in front of 3,000, 4,000 people here,
and 100,000, maybe
thousands
50,000
of people that are watching it on the Players Tribune, and be funny and keep it going. And I have to say, there were moments where I'm on stage, and Harbaugh's on stage with me, and he's like looking at me, looking to me to keep it rolling, because that's not what he does. Like, he doesn't keep that stuff rolling, so. He's looking at me like,
despite what people would think, he's not like a comedy MC.
And you're like looking next to him, and you're like, "Well, where's my
partner? Yeah, well, I don't have my, you know, my not safety blanket, but the person that I work with all the time. But in that moment, I was like, he's looking to me in this moment to deliver,
right?
And when I did, I was like, yeah, I just delivered in this moment. Yeah. He needed me to do something, and I did it for him. And as a result, I think our relationship with Harbaugh is one of we come at each other on a little bit of an equal footing because we've done.
Do you guys get any recruiting information?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
I got nothing. Oh. God, I would love some recruiting information.
That's all right. But when they found out Gary.
So I was there and they didn't know about Gary. So I was like trying to find out, like, what's going on with Gary? That was a great question. I was like, what's going on with him? Do we have him? So I'm on stage while packages are being shown and I'm like, Jim, do we got him yet? Yeah. Are you going to announce it? He's like, we don't know yet. And then they went backstage and they had a moment where they were really happy they got him and they came up. I mean, how great has that kid been? Like, that guy is just, in my opinion, as far as a leader on the team and the type of guy you want for the younger kids to look at, like, you need to be this way.
That's a great point because, like, you know, you're the number one recruit in the country. Like, a lot of top recruits kind of either flame out because their attitude's not right or that takes them some time to, like, kind of grow into it, and Gary's hasn't been like that.
I just love listening to him talk about anything. Like, just an extended Gary interview is like,
we're like that about Grant Newsom.
Yeah, oh,
man, Grant Newsom is like a future.
Grant Newsom is a guy who,
he's a future senator. Probably.
Yeah, probably. He exactly with his experience. I mean, up higher, making the president. His experience.
How fast can we do that?
Let's do it.
Can we do that in tomorrow, 6 months?
Tomorrow. He is no. He is Grant Newsom. His experience in his life is going to be one that he will sort of reflect off of. And so many people who are struggling through so many things can relate to that guy.
Yeah.
And he is almost the perfect guy. It's like our friend Tig Notaro in the comedy world. You never want anything bad to happen to your friends. But as she's going through that experience, I'm like, thank God it's Tig who's talking about breast cancer.
Right.
Because she's going to put it in a way that is real and funny, in a way that maybe in other someone else's hands, it's not handled the same way. And she like handled it the most perfect way ever. And you're like, I don't want you to be sick, but I want you to get your message out there to people. And she did. And it's just incredible. Same with Newsom in terms of like his ability to process what happened.
Have you guys seen Nanette yet?
Yes, so I've seen parts of it.
A lot of people have told me to see that. And I need to sit down and dedicate the time to see it because a lot of people that I really love and respect are like, you need to watch this.
I have mixed feelings about it.
Sure.
What are your feelings?
Well, it's difficult. It's not something I want to just say off the cuff because it's...
You want to collect your thoughts on
it. Right, yeah. It's like one of those things where you got to get it right or otherwise you're saying things that you don't actually...
Well, I've heard the criticism of it is that it's not stand-up, and the praise of it is that it's it's performance and it's comedy, and right. it is like you can't define what comedy is. Essentially, what she's saying is she's trying to push an audience into a direction of she's pulling back the curtain on the experience of performing comedy, and some people think that's not comedy, and other people think it's the highest form of comedy. And what's beautiful about it is that it's art, and so someone can look at a modern piece of artwork and say, I could do that. Well, maybe you could, but you didn't think of it. And some people could look at, you know, what this woman did and say, yeah. well, she's not, she doesn't have 1/20th of the jokes of Dave Attell's Skanks for the Memories from Comedy Works in Denver, which is arguably yeah. the funniest 38 minutes of comedy that's ever been performed. Well, no, but it's, isn't there room for everything? Like is Kanye, you know, Kanye's Late Registration or Graduation and Bon Iver's Eighth Circle, are those the same albums? No. Are they both music? Yeah, they are. So, you know, you can have your opinions on whether it worked for you, whether it made you laugh or not.
That's what I, well, you know, for me, like, it's tough because a lot of it is kind of like targeted at the generalized white man.
Yeah.
And you got to think about
that
stuff.
You're looking at two of them.
Right. Well, we're all white men here.
Yeah.
And you got to think about what your role in all that is, yeah, because I'm assuming you're not who she's actually talking about specifically. So, I mean, yeah. So to me, I'm always like, I'll just do my part. Yeah,
right,
I'm raising two daughters. I have a daughter who's 11 and a daughter who's 13. And
they're not even his. He's just raising
them. I've just got them. No. And they are, and I realize that I have to be a certain person with them and for them. Mm-hmm. And they've opened my eyes to a lot of things. So, you know, I have to watch that. I really do have to watch that.
It's, I mean, it's interesting, at the very least.
So then I'm in.
And dude, that's great art. If the other thing I've, without having seen all of it, I can't really speak to it enough yet. But what I love about it is it's getting people to discuss what is or is not comedy.
Sure.
And so that on its own is a brilliant accomplishment in this world where a million stand-up specials come out all the time and people hardly ever talk about them.
So it is that's a good thing. You're always trying to do something that people will be like, did you see that, have you seen it? That's always like the best question you can ask.
So how do you guys feel about, is comedy changed in the age of like Netflix for you guys? Or
it has, yeah, comedy has changed. It's kind of changed and stayed the same in a weird way. Like there was a time in the 80s where if you got booked on The Tonight Show,
right,
and you had a great set of comedy, like for example, here's a trajectory for someone, Freddie Prinze Sr. All right, yes, Freddie Prinze Jr. Freddie Prinze. So Freddie Prinze does a brilliant set at the Comedy Store and is
at the store and is seen by Carson or whoever,
Peter LaSalle, and then the next night he goes on Carson.
They book him on the next night. They're like, bump the third guest. We're putting this guy on.
He gets on Carson and he destroys.
Carson invites him over. They just talk.
Right.
And you're like, oh my God, this and kid's then, life
so
is.
So millions of 40 million people see that, including execs. And they go, what's an idea that we can put this guy in? And then a few months later, they have Chico and the Man and it goes on the air. And then he has a career. Okay. Like that's what happened back then. And then there was a time in the 90s, you know, as Carson turned into Leno and it wasn't the same show. And then, you know, there was Comedy Central was doing comedy and other places were doing comedy. 5 minutes wouldn't buy you an entire career. It was good. It was good to get a credit on Conan or something like that, but it wasn't going to change your life like that. I think we're at a point now with Netflix where if you are able to get an hour special produced by Netflix, promoted by Netflix, we've watched two or three of our good friends, Tom Segura,
Ali Wong,
and John Mulaney.
John Mulaney.
We've watched three people explode to a level that is reminiscent of doing Carson and killing it in the 80s, to the point where they're selling out 3,000 or 4,000 seat venues, and to the point where they're doing
Mulaney's telling the New Yorker Festival fuck off.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Mulaney is such a talented performer and always has been great. It's not a surprise or a shocker to me. The proof is in the pudding. He did a very special, his first special for Netflix did really well, and then the next one came, and then now he's selling out multiple nights at 3,000 seat venues, and deservedly so. He's one of the biggest things in comedy right now. Netflix made that. So there is an exciting time for that. There's also an exciting time for smaller comedians who do 15 minutes and 30 minute spots on Netflix. it's a great time for comedy. Like, Randy and I go to Sunset Boulevard in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we can see is, like, we'll do the Comedy Store, we'll do the Laugh Factory, and we'll do the Improv. Those are, like, the three big clubs in L.A. And because we have kids, a lot of times we'll do, you know, we can't be out every night doing stand-up. We'll stack them. We'll be like, okay, we got a spot at the Comedy Store. Let's try and get on at the Improv a little bit later, and let's do all of them in one night. Or the Laugh. All three of them one night. That can even happen. It's sometimes too. And you go, and you're at the Comedy Store, and you're in the original room that seats about 200, and it is 100. It is packed.
Wall to wall packed. And the lineup is Chris D'Elia, and then
Neil Brennan,
and then Joe Rogan, and then you, and then who else?
Mark Maron, then Ali Wong, and then a bunch of people. In the main room, you're going to have, like, it's packed too. There's
400
like 400 people in the main
Bill
room.
Bill Burr, and I mean, that's the lineup in that room, and it's and some people cross.
Then you go over to Laugh Factory, and that place is packed with people.
And it's Kevin Nealon, and it's you, and it's like all these people. Then you go down to the Improv, and that place is packed. Both rooms are packed. We're just, like, so grateful that so many people are coming out to see comedy right now and supporting it.
And this is a change from, like, 5 years ago?
I would say, yeah. Yes. Yep. Yes.
And I think Netflix has had a lot to do with it, because I think a lot more people are seeing... Netflix is kind of like the... Like when the comedy album came out, and right. just all these people could sort of...
And podcasting.
Too. And what happens is that, like, most people from Netflix will watch a special, and then they'll be like, what else? What other specials are out there? What else should I watch? And then they'll watch another one, and then they'll watch another one. So you can, like, get on to lots of things, get, you know, sort of start here and end way over right. here and see a bunch of specials, which is great. Now, does everyone get a Netflix special? No.
We have a Netflix special. It did nicely for us. It didn't change our lives. It did well. We were really happy with it and proud of it. I think that had we gotten, you know, in at a different time, or was it produced by Netflix or backed by Netflix, maybe that would have had a different result.
Sure.
Don't know. But we're still grateful to have it. People still see us on Netflix and come to the shows as a result. So we're grateful. It's an exciting time for comedy. There are a lot of great comedians doing it too.
Well, and I mean, just personally, like, most of the comedy I consume now is through Netflix. And one of the reasons that it's easy to put on, like, you know,
super easy.
You don't have to commit to it. And then if you are watching someone like Mulaney, he grabs your attention and you're like, this guy can really knock it out of the park.
It's an hour. It's usually like an hour, which isn't like a movie length.
Well, and then you know, you're cleaning up around the house or something, and you just want something on.
And you're laughing. You're laughing. And that's the other wonderful thing that I love. And love performing live, not to bring it back to our live shows here in Ann Arbor.
Which are tonight and tomorrow.
Tonight and tomorrow.
8:30, 8:00. 8:00 and 10:30. Yeah, that's a better way to put it, probably.
I like that you went. Yeah, that's like what was the score of the Nebraska game? 9-42. But the idea is that, you know, I actually love being in a room full of people laughing.
Yeah.
It feels like almost like the 14-foot jump shot in the NBA. No one ever does anymore, because it's like it's slowly dying. That moment where everyone in a room laughs at the same time. You're like, okay, we're not on our phones. We're all collectively sitting
That's a great point, because, you know, you can go to a concert and
everyone's on their phone. I'm like, watch the concert, show. Yeah. Put your phone down. And watch. Don't watch through your phone. Have the experience with each other. Turn to someone and be like, no way, that song's coming on.
Yeah.
That happens at a comedy show in a slightly different way, because, you know, the crowd is reacting to what you're doing or not reacting or whatever they happen to be doing. It's a very real live moment, raw moment.
Yeah, I mean, I did stand-up, just open mic stuff, and that was like something that helped me get over fear of public speaking and all that stuff. But the moment that you live for is like, there's 15 people in this room and I made them all laugh, and that's
the best.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best. It's such a good feeling. And as you craft your material, and when you get to a point where you're crafting what an hour looks like and what a whole set looks like, and then we see people, we hang out afterwards, we have a, you know, merch that we sell afterwards, and we hang out just to talk to people and see what's resonating, you know, what material.
Add that in about the merch, right?
Thanks. Nice. Just see what's resonating with people as we're selling merch,
we're selling all kinds of merch.
Like, I mean, lots of
merch, tons of CDs and hats, just really cool stuff. And so, you know, and look, I've got a Square, so you can swipe a credit card if you don't.
Anyway.
But we're talking about connecting with people, and, you know.
No, but we connect with the people after the show. And that is a wonderful thing, too, because you're really talking to people and they're like, hey, I loved you from this, or hey, I came to the show because of this, or I heard you guys on this amazing blog slash
radio.
Changed my life, this podcast.
With the podcast that, like, changed. I'm an MGO blogger, and I just love you guys.
So, you know, and we get to kind of see where it's great information for us to sort of see how people consume what we do, and then how do they get to that, and then did you deliver? Did we deliver on a night full of fun comedy for them? And usually we do. Hopefully we do.
Yeah.
I remember your opener from last time you were here. How's he doing? He was great.
Oh, Nate Fritzen?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. He's in New York. He was like a Detroit guy, Michigan State guy, but grew up in Detroit. Don't hold against him, Michigan State, Nate. He's so talented and great. He's in New York, in the New York scene, like doing a really
first 12
good
minutes tonight are on Urban Meyer. I just want you to know. First
How about
12
that?
Minutes on Urban Meyer. How grateful.
Wow.
How grateful he
was. If you guys want people to come to the show, that's what you got to.
Urban Meyer, how grateful is he that he doesn't have to fake another heart attack?
Yeah, it's so nice.
Meanwhile, D'Antonio's like 8 feet away going, someone say heart attack? I had a heart attack.
Why are our heart attacks?
Why aren't you talking about my heart attack?
Everyone devalues.
Oh,
Michigan
so
State
I had a
heart
little
attacks.
Heart attack because I'm from East Lansing.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're gonna rank my heart attack lower.
Don't give away the whole show.
Okay,
guys.
I'm not. You got to come out to see.
Come out and see the rest of it.
All that 12 minutes is that's a long.
There
bit.
Will not be 12 minutes on Urban Meyer. Look,
Urban
we'll do the
Meyer
best we can.
Hurt 12 minutes. His wife doesn't even want to do 12 minutes on it.
They share everything.
They share everything.
Everything except for like the most important details about a man who
they
is
share everything.
His wife.
Yeah,
they share everything. That's his best friend. You know how you keep really sensitive information away from your best friend. Information that could help people that you counseled
when
you were younger.
This is a service that you guys need to provide. You're experts at this kind of thing.
Oh man, we're ready to go. I'm ready to go. But I'm sure he was worth it as a receivers coach. You know what I mean? I'm sure you couldn't. Brian Hartline couldn't have done the job better. Yeah. I'm really glad.
Know who Brian Hartline is? Yeah. Jesus.
David Boston couldn't have whipped it up and worked it out.
Guys are on the boards. I don't even know how you have time to do the comedy.
You'll see how we've spent way more time.
We shake the boards big time.
Yeah.
I always love seeing spats on the boards, too. Those are really fun.
Oh, yeah. You guys have some great fan spats on your boards.
Just like. Like people just getting like one guy says one thing the wrong way and then they get there.
Well,
just,
yeah. And then the guy's complaining about how someone's downvoting on my posts. And I'm like, I don't care.
I don't know what's going on and I don't
like,
care.
I sympathize for you in your time of trial, but also I don't care.
Yeah, I can't care. Yeah. I only have so much care. And so
we do appreciate that you post on the site. Keep posting. Yeah, please.
Well, keep doing what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, this has been...
And your podcast is...
So we have two. We have a sports podcast, sports comedy podcast called View from the Cheap Seats. We've had some really fun, good people on there, and including like long interviews with Bob Costas and Ozzie Smith and... we had a great interview with Thomas Q. Jones, the running back for Virginia.
And then comedy people, Blake Griffin. I'm calling him a comedy. He's in the comedy. Comedians.
The Pistons, so.
That is his greatest comedy role.
No, but we had Michael Costa, who's on The Daily Show, but he played.
I did stand-up with him around.
He's a tennis great guy. Tennis in Michigan, and you know, we talked to him deep, deep, deep about tennis.
We had Bill Burr on and had a massive argument about Tom Brady and the deflation
balls. Oh, my God.
Is Costa still disgustingly attractive?
Oh, my God. It's just not
You
fair.
Don't even stand next to him.
I'm like, you have to overcome a lot, dude, because people just hate how good-looking you are. So you don't even realize what a handicap that is when it comes to comedy. Man, you're
like you picked the wrong business, man.
But
he is really funny. He is really funny, and he's just a sharp, fun guy to spar around with. He's really enjoyable.
So that's that. And then we have another podcast called Dumb People Town, which is true crime, ridiculous, dumb stories that are sent in to us and our co-host Daniel Van Kirk. And then we have people on. This past week we had John Hamm on, and it's really one of my favorite episodes.
Because Hamm's one of those amazing people who you're like, you can't be funny as well. You're too good looking. You're too good of an actor. You're cool. So Hamm grew up in St. Louis, and we grew up in St. Louis, and we kind of have a lot of the same friends and know a lot of the same people. Our next door neighbor went to school with him. He's like a year older than us, and we're huge Cardinals fans.
Wow,
so
you guys look way older than he does.
I know, right? So So we would, so we text him all the time about car, you know, in the same way that we have text chains about Michigan during like Michigan games.
Where you like get out your darkest, most evil thoughts into a text chain just so it's not living inside of you.
Yeah, you're like, I got to get it out. I'll just type it out. And so we'll like text with Ham just about like the Cardinals and how they're, you know,
slowly blowing it.
How they'll finish like one game out of the
I know. I know here we are talking to like Tigers fans about Cardinals blowing it. And that
nobody hears
No, the Cardinals took like two of three. The Tigers took two or three from the Cardinals.
Yeah, remember that?
No.
A couple weeks
ago? That
happened
like a week ago.
Here's what we're going to say. Go Blue, Michigan by 9 tomorrow. And
I could see 31-21. 31-21.
I think Michigan, I think we score 35. I don't think their defense is that good. And we cut a lot of stuff through the air, maybe 300 yards in the air. Shea maybe puts it up 30 times. I say 35-17. That's actually what I think is going to happen.
35-17. What did I pick on the blog? It was like 32-23.
32-23.
Hey, look, I'll
How do you get
it
to 32?
I don't know, but
how do you get to 32?
A W is a W is a W.
Just go for two a lot, I guess. I don't know,
dude. They're going for two on a field goal. How are they going for two on a field goal?
Was that five?
I'm an engineer.
Dude, 11 safeties, 11 safeties, a touchdown, and a field goal. That's how you get to 32, Randy.
Boom. Done.
All right.
Field goals, two touchdowns.
The Sklar brothers, everybody. We're going to come back and continue this podcast in some capacity that I've forgotten what it is.
We have a lot in common. You rode the bus to Bursley, so did Larry Page, and so did I. And we all love MGO Blog. I'm Nick Hopwood, your MGO financial coach. My entire family went to Michigan State, but I was the smart one finding my way to Ann Arbor to study econ. I've been a financial planner for 17 years, earning the designation Certified Financial Planner, and founded Peak Wealth Management in Plymouth. Oh, you're pretty smart, and you probably have a sweet retirement spreadsheet already. My job is to make sure. As a financial coach, I make sure you're on track, or if you're not on track, I tell you exactly what you're going to need to do. And if you listen, I'll be able to tell you how your future should look, just like the knowledge. And I have cool charts and graphs to tell the story, sort of like the Mathlete. To learn more or schedule time to chat, check out peakwm.com/mgoblog.
If you need a place to stay in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94, there's a new hotel downtown, and the owners, who should be well-known to the Michigan community, have asked our help to get the word out. The Martin family, yes, that Martin family, recently opened the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown, just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium. They're competitively priced and offer a free hot breakfast, free Wi-Fi, fully equipped kitchen and every suite and an indoor pool. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go. Let's go.
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
Welcome back to MGO Radio 4.3 live at the Bow Store on Main Street. That was very cool music. I feel it's much cooler than our podcast deserves.
Well, you know, actually, this is a reader who gave this to us. That was, I forget the name of the band here.
Well, you should shout them out.
Quintet. Neil Anderson Quintet.
The Neil Anderson Quintet?
Yeah. Right. We'll put a link up for it.
All right.
Yeah, that was Bacon Sunday.
We should probably do a Lantana read now.
Speaking of Bacon Sunday.
We weren't expecting the Sklars to be so enthusiastic about being on our podcast, but they were. That was awesome.
I think they would prefer to like be here talking about football.
Yeah. And eating Hummus not made from kittens, of course.
It is really good hummus. Do you have a particular one this time that you want
to? No, I've just gotten through the Hatch chili hummus that I was consuming, and now I will have to get a different flavor, but they have new ones all the time.
I got to try the Hatch chili.
Pumpkin spice hummus season.
I haven't done that one yet.
Was I joking? I thought I was joking.
No, I'm sure they have a pumpkin one.
Really?
They do.
I mean, they probably do.
It's a food company. They have everything. A pumpkin flavored one. And it's probably great because it's Lantana, and it's not made with kittens. We know that, too.
It's true. Lantana hummus is available at Bush's, Meijer, Kroger, or your local grocer.
Look for the striped lids.
So, we do have a game coming up against Nebraska. We sort of previewed it during the Sklar segment.
Yeah.
A little bit. But the 18-point spread is just boggling to me. Like
the 18-point spread is Vegas saying that quarterback would have, if he was going to play, he would have played at the end of a loss to Troy. In the fourth quarter, when you need like one drive, you know,
people do heal up over as time passes.
Sure. But this is a running quarterback.
I mean,
who is it? Yeah, and they did not like make the game about his arm. Like the game plan is around his legs.
He did complete 75% of his passes.
Yes, but a lot of them are screens. A lot of them are. It's a spread.
It's
offense.
It was how Denard-ish are we talking here?
He's pretty far down the Denard track. I mean, he's not in Denard's class as a runner, but right. He is definitely a guy who would start at Ohio State, not for Harbaugh.
Harbaugh?
Harbaugh. Harbaugh. I've melded the two of them together into one giant, but actually he would start for Bo, because Bo used to running quarterbacks all the time. Yeah.
So, I mean, you mentioned that you saw 25 different run plays from them in the Colorado game?
Yeah.
Is that?
That was like, like
how precise, are we distinguishing duo from inside zone here?
Yes. And duo is a different play from inside zone.
Slightly.
But that's the thing. There's going to be a slightly different look on everything. That's what Frost does. Everything that you see is going to be not like the thing you saw before until you just got to play assignment football. You can't mess around and try to like pretend that you know what's coming next.
Well, I mean, the thing that kind of jumped out at me after the UCF game was they had so many plays where they're trying to attack both edges at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, they have those plays where like somebody's jetting out to the sideline and then it's student body right the other way. One of those was that long touchdown that where McCray gets edged and the safety misses a tackle.
Unbalanced play too.
Right, and so they just are – they're going to test you on your defensive playbook knowledge.
Yeah.
And how effective they're going to be doing that is interesting because, like, this is year one. So, like, they're testing themselves on their playbook knowledge as well. And it's kind of amazing to me that they're able to, like, get this up and running as quickly as they seemingly have.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely biffs, yeah. Especially in their screen game. So that was a lot of they have a screen that they like to use at double screen where if it's not the bubble's not there, they throw it back and the linemen have already released to the other side, and they just couldn't get the timing down at all.
Mm-hmm.
So those kinds of things that are really they're timing based, they're not very good at yet. A lot of their game is like zone read, and then they'll zone read and pull a guy and zone read, but like then pass out of it if they like they have the. An RPO with a receiver just coming right behind there.
Yeah.
So that kind of messes with that that lineman as well. Like, it's just that. It's just like all these very small tweaks to very basic things. But it's always a tweak. You're never seeing the same thing again, except for zone read.
I mean, did they have much of a, like, straight drop-back passing game with Martinez?
Not really.
So it's really... It's really mostly that, and if you can contain that, then they're in trouble.
Yeah, they're going to do it once in a while because they want you to think about that too. And they have a receiver who had, I think it was 16 yards short of 1,000 last year.
Yeah, Stanley Morgan Jr.
Right. So, I mean, they have that guy. They have a really good slot, and they brought in a JUCO or a grad transfer for the other receiver spot, and he's athletic as well. But a lot of those are just kind of stop routes. Like they're just having those guys out there to make sure your cornerbacks can't get involved.
So this is a situation that I was a little bit concerned about when I was looking at them because I'm like, they kind of have a guy who's a lot like James Prochet.
Yeah, that's Spielman, J.D. Spielman.
J.D. Spielman, who is the top returning Big Ten wide receiver by Pro Football Focus's grading.
And you can see that. He's
at 5'9", which is wow.
The offense is going to create space for him inside, and he's subtle, and he makes his catches, and he's got a little bit of a long game. So that's what you want in a slot receiver. And I mean, last year their passing game was very, you know, throw it downfield and
see what happens.
Right, and they had a couple balls where he should not have caught them. Like, I remember watching J.D. Spielman last year and saying, why is this guy so efficient? It's because he caught, like, 3 40-yard bombs that bounced off of somebody else first. This year...
Oh, like... But yeah. I mean, PFS is going to account for that.
Well, this year he is... I mean, he was doing it himself. He's just running by guys, too. So, I mean, Michigan... I think has learned that they can't just we tried that against SMU. I think they've learned that you have to drop linebackers back sometimes.
I mean, if Martinez is playing, this feels like a game where Michigan is going to run more zone than we've seen them run in a long time.
Yeah,
because you get those two guys up, so you're able to cut off the outside with safeties. You know, you're looking at the quarterback in case he breaks the pocket. You're a little bit better able to cover those slants with a guy who's probably not going to be too comfortable throwing underneath with moving zone windows. So it just feels like this is a game to be Iowa.
My
right?
way to attack him, and it works just as well with the walk-on, run a lot of split coverages. And I know Brown's got them in the playbook.
Sure.
Because a lot of their plays, you can short circuit. He's a true freshman, and so they have very simple reads for him. Look over there. If it's zone, throw to the other side because the other side is running a zone beater, and that's what a lot of their pass plays are designed as. So if you're running a split coverage, he looks over here. It's zone. Looks over here. It's man, and that's it. He's a freshman. He doesn't have that third idea. Right. His third idea is always run. He never has more than two reads.
Sure. Well, that's probably a good idea for him.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're in your lane, if you're playing assignment football and you've messed up with his reads enough, and I think Michigan has practiced their defense enough at this point.
Sure.
That, you know, this is going to be a tough out. We're a tough out for them.
Well, and then the other concern is, like, we had a kind of a major problem with quarterbacks breaking the pocket in the Notre Dame game. And
true.
If Martinez is breaking the pocket, that's a lot of big plays that are waiting to happen.
And again, if Martinez was fully healthy, but I keep coming back to, like, guys can heal. But
let's just assume that Martinez...
I can't assume
that he's
going to be...
Let's assume the worst-case scenario for the quarterback situation, because if it's not, then I just think we're
Michigan has
then
seen
Michigan's
Ohio State run this offense much better than Martinez is going to.
I don't think that's actually fair to Scott Frost. Like, I think Scott Frost's offense is... So really, really diverse, and also it's a different situation.
Yeah,
because
Urban Meyer is a fantastic offensive coach as well.
Well, he does delegate.
Yeah,
more than Frost does at this point. So that's why you kind of have those dips when Warner is the offensive coordinator versus
true
when Tom Herman is
true. I made a comment in there that Scott Frost is maybe the best offensive mind in college football right now, and that's. Yeah, you know, it's
bold,
but I mean, can you think of someone else? He's the guy who was behind the Oregon offenses.
Joe Moorhead, maybe.
Yeah, Joe Moorhead's a good one too.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
we'll see. I mean, Herman might put it together, that kind of thing. Chip Kelly's star is rather faded.
Chip Kelly almost looks like guess who was running his offense back when they were killing everybody.
That is a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That was Scott Frost.
Yeah.
So
he's a star. And their defense is actually a lot more interesting than their... I mean, the offense is... They picked up the pieces from a decent offense last year and they put a freshman in charge of it, right?
Right, and they're going to be explosive but inconsistent.
Yeah. Defense is going to be more interesting because it's... I kept on thinking about the 2011 Michigan team that, like, they just took some parts that were a disaster the year before.
Yeah.
Found out what they're good at and just do that.
Well, so... Kind of the striking thing that I was feeling when I was writing up the Nebraska preview is that section from the Connolly preview, where last year they were pretty much the least disruptive defense in Division I.
Mm-hmm.
Like 128th in havoc rate. They were terrible at success rates. They were just the most vanilla bend don't break system out there. And now that they've got a completely different defensive coordinator. They're still running a 4-3, but it is a much more aggressive...
A 3-4, yeah.
A 3-4.
Yeah.
It's a much more aggressive in-your-face
system. Weird to say about someone replacing Bob Diaco that the next guy is more aggressive. But
well, it was Bob Diaco coached by Mike Riley.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
it was,
like...
It was nice guy, Diaco.
It was like, yeah, it was like, let's be nice to right. these guys. It's not...
Diaco was not nice to those guys. That was the big controversy they had last year.
Well...
But anyway, yes. I think last year that they were trying to get a lot of the pass rush from their ends because Freedom at Kingdom Aladdin... I practiced that one. I
hope miss
I
got you, it right. Ace.
XXO. Anyway, Freedom was a great edge rusher. PFF loved him, and then they added 40 pounds to him, and he's just a guy.
Right.
And he's still starting, and he's still the guy on their strong side, but he's now 295 pounds and just a guy. They were trying to make that guy their like primary edge rusher last year.
Yeah.
At that, and also have him take inside gaps. And
well, they don't really have... standout rusher even yeah. now.
Yeah, like
Carlos Davis looks pretty explosive from time to time, but he's 325.
Oh, yeah. The defensive linemen are all just huge. They're 295, 315, 290.
The one guy that they converted from like a stand-up linebacker position last year who was like the one guy who had an
Bent Stiles.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 290 now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he looks 290. He looks good, too. He's the guy who actually bumped Carlos Davis to second team, officially second team. They all split snaps.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's Stiles starting. And I had a hard time seeing which one of those guys is really good. And
well, you said that the Colorado blocking was just abominable.
Oh, the center and the right guard, I was getting mad because they were so bad. and it's bad enough that you know that those guys are not going to be good players, but it was also like...
Hey, what's the point of even grading this?
Yeah, but also, I'm wondering if, they were getting bugged out by some of the looks they show, because they go to, they'll bring a lot of linebackers down. They do a lot of Oki. It's, it's a 3-4. You don't know where things are coming from.
Yeah.
And I'm sure their center was just winging over his head.
Yeah.
But their right guard is a guy who was a freshman All-American. He started all last year as well as a sophomore. He's a junior now, and he should not be getting just manhandled. And that was the part that scared me, is that Carlos Davis is picking that guy up and depositing him in the quarterback's lap, or just shedding him and going. And that could just be Carlos Davis was a great player last year.
He's a good player, yeah.
So if he's just super strong, then...
Well, I mean, I think Michigan can probably...
Couldn't
assert that they are going to be strong. Able to hold up.
Can they move him, though? Yeah. I mean, the teams that we really dominate are just when we can pick up their line.
So, I mean, one thing I noticed is, they have their big boys,
mm-hmm.
but then, often a 3-4 will have a guy who's, 260, who's kind of a quasi-defensive end in a rushing role. And they don't... I mean, their outside linebackers are, 230 and 245.
Yeah, they're very straight-up linebackers.
Right.
Which is surprising, because Chinendo used to use, a hybrid guy in his 3-4.
Maybe he just doesn't have it.
I think he tried to import one from UCF, and that guy's just not... He's right. just a safety.
So I kind of felt like this would be a big game for Gentry and McCune on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can kind of pin in whatever the play side defensive end is and then get a good block on the linebacker, then Michigan's going to be able to kind of avoid the Carlos Davis question somewhat. They can kind of run away from the big boys and take advantage of the fact that they do have a size advantage on the edge.
Yeah, I think the edge is actually where to attack this team. I'm really hoping Chris Evans, when he pulled up last week, that was just a little thing and that's done.
I mean, he was clearly recovering from something. Tarbaugh said that, we're working him in, so that wasn't just a cramp.
But and he's the guy you want to use to attack this team.
If you're pulling a hamstring, that feels like something that might not be a one-week injury,
yeah.
Especially because it's something you could aggravate. So I'm kind of feeling like this isn't going to be a game we see a lot of Chris Evans in.
Yeah, well, that's the guy you want to attack these guys with. Also, you could do a lot of jet motion with DPJ or Ambry Thomas. Yeah, just use that speed on the edge, because those linebackers, they really are just linebackers. They're lining them up in a 3-4, and when you spread out, they just spread out. Yeah. It's the same defense that Alabama is really using as far as the front.
You noted that they don't really have a nickelback.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they just three safeties.
Yeah, so they're going to be possibly a little bit vulnerable to Grant Perry, Zach Gentry, Sean McCune. So this might be a very tight end swingy game.
Yeah, I mean, with the defense, they have to run a lot of man, especially with Jackson, the boundary corner.
Because he's six. He's like
he's 6'3".
Yeah, he's Jeremy Clark.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, they're manning him up and they're running split coverages when they want to run zone, just so they can keep him in man. And you can kind of exploit that a little bit because if you know it's man,
right,
and he doesn't have any help underneath, and you know, once in a while they'll go to zone just to try to, you know, break tendency, and that's when you can break him. So I think that's the guy to attack if you can, I don't know, get some jet motion and get someone matched up on him.
Yeah.
And I like Harbaugh's offense against this defense because he likes to put his receivers to one side and his power to the other side, and that kind of messes with how Nebraska likes to line up.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We've kind of gotten through 3 weeks of the season, and we've had Shea Patterson in either we're hiding this guy because we don't want to get him killed mode, or just like we don't need to take this guy out of the garage. And this might be a game where like you're going to have to rely on his arm more than you have previously.
This is a much better coming out game than starting the season with Notre Dame.
Sure.
And I think
because they might be able to give him a little bit of pass blocking.
Yeah, and they've set up where what their runs look like, and you can kind of mess with some keys and figure out what the keys are early.
Yeah,
and I think like all the running into stack boxes and stuff. I think that, you know, Michigan's always going to do that as long as Harbaugh's here. But it's
so
not,
they didn't actually run into stack boxes against SMU.
Well, they're running into blitz ball linebackers.
Yeah, and they could have done more to like dissuade that. We're also talking about a team that was going down the field every time after their first two drives.
And my point is that you can do that against SMU, and so they did that against SMU.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to take more of the offense out of the garage for this one. I don't believe the, you know, 70% of our offense has not, and now it's all going to come out. But I think that there's definitely checks that they make at the line that they were just, don't bother unless it's like really bad. Yeah. And they may have been telling Shea Patterson not to hand off on zone reads because...
I mean, not to keep.
Or not to keep, yeah. And I think that's one of the main adjustments you can make here because, again, edges are the way to attack this defense.
Sure.
So, you know, if Shea keeps the ball, he can run a bit.
Yeah, he's fast. He doesn't want to keep it. I don't know.
Or he was told games.
No. You can't, like, run his own read and see the defensive end just completely ignore you as a quarterback.
You can't, although Brady Hoke tried for a couple of years anyway.
This is the second time we have mentioned Brady Hoke in this podcast. Nobody deserves this who's listening to this podcast.
He was a coach for 4 years here. You have to, yeah.
Nobody deserves that. So, I mean, I still feel like this 18-point spread is just boggling to me, but
I
feel like Michigan should win the game.
That is absolutely Vegas thinking that the quarterback is going to be
like,
the walk-in.
Like, if you're that uncertain about the availability of a quarterback who swings the outcome so much, that's a game you take off the board, right?
Because
then anybody who can get like a solid read on what he's just going to be stealing from the casino. Like I don't know. It just feels like they don't care. They're just like, whatever.
My sense with the casinos has always been with Michigan games, they just want people to bet. Like that's
it's not. I mean,
that's the game that you have to have up on the board.
I mean, I brought this up to Ed at the TKA one, and he was like, my numbers have Michigan by 16. So I feel like there's some sort of analytics thing going on here that maybe doesn't quite understand that Martinez didn't play against Troy.
Okay.
Because I don't know how in-depth these metrics are actually getting. So if you don't know that didn't happen and you are coming into this season with the expectations that Nebraska's defense is coming from such a low place and they can't get that much better in 1 year, then that's how those metrics get put forth. And I think these days in Vegas, you're setting your lines based on those metrics. And that's why I think it's an 18-point spread. And I think that underestimates the transition between
Taylor, or the quarterback?
No, the previous coach.
Oh, no, it wasn't Miles.
No,
Riley.
Riley.
Mike Riley.
The transition from Riley, who was a total dud and like 70 years old, to Scott Frost. And I think it underestimates the transition between Bob Diaco, who everybody hated in that locker room,
right,
to Scott Frost.
Eric Chenander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that's why the line's the way it is, and I think it's wrong. So,
I mean, this is not a team I would looked at and said Michigan's going to beat them by three touchdowns.
Right.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so do you have a prediction? I think I was 32-23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
24-18.
24-18? How do you get 18 points?
The old MGO joke. I'm going to keep on. We'll keep putting it out there until, like, you know, people are not still asking us.
Any, like, special team stuff? They have a freshman kicker who's missed 2-0-4.
Yeah, yeah. So everyone was missing in that game, though. So
and they gave up a punt return touchdown to Troy. So it could be advantage Michigan here.
They like to come for punts. They try to block punts.
All right. So. Well, it's good we didn't get a whole podcasting without a phrasing moment.
I'm getting better at it. Yeah.
That's not what I meant. All right. This has been MGO Radio 4.3. Thank you for listening. Thank you to the Sklars, of course, for having probably the longest guest segment we've had on this program. And it was great.
Yeah.
So thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to MGO Radio 4.3, and thank you to the Sklars for coming on. I don't have a joke. I'm not Ace. We really miss you, Ace.
Who's got it better than-